Let's go up to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled for one episode and is our vantage point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast.
Outside, we couldn't see it from our vantage point.
Wrestling fans, and welcome to our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. It is episode number 35 on this Monday, June 12th, 2017. I am Joe Murata. This is the heartbreak hit himself, Michael Quinn. How's it going, Quinn?
Howdy doody.
How you doing, man?
Good.
You ready to talk about the world of retro wrestling?
Oh, I'm always ready.
You are always ready. Folks, glad to be back with you this week. We have some great topics in store for you. And Quinn, before we get to any of that, why don't we tell the folks a few things? There's some things to talk about.
Yeah.
There's always things.
There's always the things.
One thing is Twitter.
Right.
And we're available there at OVP Podcast. You can tweet at us. You can follow us. We will follow back. We're not a bot.
Yeah, we're not Meshuggah, whatever it is. Who's our character?
Mishlava.
Yeah.
From Russia.
Mishlava, sorry.
We're not her or him. You can also, of course, email us if you use that at ovppodcast@gmail.com. That is ovppodcast@gmail.com. We do receive emails. We respond to the emails.
Yes, we do that.
Talk to the fans.
When you send the email, we write back.
Yes, we do.
That's
very nice.
Standard issue over at OVP Studios.
That's our protocol.
Yeah.
Quinn, they might be listening to us directly from our SoundCloud feed, but they don't have to, right? There's some places to find us.
Oh, that's not as convenient.
No.
You should really go on something called Apple Podcasts, formerly iTunes.
Yes.
Podcasts. Over there, you can subscribe, leave a review, which is always nice.
We like those,
You know, it plays the podcast for you.
It does that too.
It's part of the app there. You can also get us on Google Play Music.
Yes.
Stitcher, Blueberry, TuneIn.
Who cares?
Okay. And Otto.
Yeah, Otto Radio.
Odyssey.
The Odyssey.
You got to really dig to go to Otto Radio. But, you know, we like them over there.
We do. It's nice of them to host us there or whatever they do there.
They just
aggregate us.
They just say, like, here's the link to your RSS feed.
Good job.
From our site.
Can we start one of those and just start, like...
We probably could make a lot of money.
You want to?
I don't know if I have the technical experience to do that, but...
Well, someone out there does.
Yeah.
Another place that you could find us, folks, is placetobenation.com. There's some great wrestling podcasts there and some other great content. And if you're not listening to us there, I suggest that you go there. Check us out on that as well.
Yeah, that.
And then you can listen to some of the other podcasts. There's the Place to Be podcast, which is in 1986 right now, one of Quinn's favorites.
Yeah, it's a great little show, and they do a good job running down those old shows.
Yep.
Kind of like how we review, but just different.
Yeah, just different. Two friends talking, sharing observations, kind of bringing you up to speed as far as what was going on during the time.
Exactly.
Great network. Glad to be a part of it. And we want to just thank all of our fans for their continued support. We have a t-shirt available, finally.
Yes, we have merch,
We have merch. It is the OVT.
The OVT shirt cast. I don't know. You can wear it unlike listening to it. You wear this show on your ears.
That's right.
You can wear this shirt on your chest. That's a great tagline.
Shirts work, Quinn.
That's the next shirt. It's going to say that.
Hey, design that right away. But anyway, you can find that on teespring.com. That's teespring.com/OVP podcast. Be sure to get one. We don't need your money. You know, we're not begging for it.
But it helps.
But it helps. That's all. Just helps.
Viewers like you.
Viewers like you.
Yeah.
Supporting this program. Well, Quinn, speaking of the program, we have some things to talk about.
I
hope so. I'm starting it off today, and we're going to go deep diving. So get your scuba gear on there, sir. It's amazing how you get to do that every week.
I just hit a button, really. I mean, it's...
do you?
No.
No. And Quinn, I was thinking of something that we haven't really talked about in detail.
Okay.
It's a wrestler, actually.
Oh, boy.
And this, strangely enough, I don't believe came up in our Mount Rushmore and Death Valley of gimmicks. So let's talk a little bit about Doink the Clown.
Ooh, Doink, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Your reaction sums it up perfectly. I personally thought the heel Doink, folks, which debuted in late 1992, was played by Matt Bourne.
Right.
Great talented wrestler, no longer with us. I thought that was a fantastic
gimmick and character.
It's good, and I have no problem with the heel doink. It's softer than the ECW heel doink, which is probably the best version, but...
Yes, it definitely is, and I'm sure we can cover that in a little bit.
I feel like Matt Bourne is the gimmick. Like, I know, like, other people play doink, yes. But, like, once Matt Bourne was removed from the equation, it sucked.
Died, yeah. And one of the things that I've picked up over the years, just from reading things, is that even in, like, the Observer, you know, Dave Meltzer's Observer and stuff like that, and just the RSPW at the time, you know, the online forum, that when Vince, you know, trotted out this doink character in 92, people were kind of up in arms about it a little bit. Like, oh, come on, really? An evil clown?
Yeah.
But I thought that was such a tremendous twist on it. And again, like you said, a lot of it had to do with Matt Bourne.
Yes. I think that a lot of people, like, they just think of the old one. Or the not the old one, the dinky kind.
Yeah, the dinky version.
And they don't really give appreciation to it. And I do think if you're talking about at the time, I really don't understand why anyone would have a problem with that, because the expectation would be as WWF would just make it a cheery clown. Like, why are you mad?
It's almost ahead of its time for 92, 93.
Well, yeah, because later on would down the line would come like the Heath Ledger Joker
yep.
in Dark Knight Batman.
Yeah, Back to the Future Batman.
Back to the Batman Dark Knight.
Yeah, and one of the things I always liked about the heel doink.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of things. One is his music.
Yes.
Awesome heel music.
Wah, wah.
You know
about that. Wah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I certainly do.
Yeah.
And then another thing I always liked is that his outfit was like shitty and like you could see his chest hair.
Yeah, the chest hair is a nice touch.
It kind of made a difference, yeah. I swear.
And like, you know, evil face paint, but it could be interpreted either way.
As regular clown paint, and then it always came off.
Creaming off of his face.
Creaming off. So what they did, you know, at WrestleMania 9 is always lampooned and always made fun of with a double doink thing.
Well, that was a magic trick, right?
Yeah.
That's what
Bobby
I always
thought.
Said.
There was only one doink.
Yeah, like David Copperfield.
Yeah, like David Copperfield. It was him, wasn't it?
That's what Bobby said.
Yeah, you're right. Bobby did say that.
I'm pretty certain he said that.
Eat your heart out, Houdini! Eat your heart out, Copperfield! This doink is great!
So the thing with Doink is that he fell off already by the end of 93.
Well, I feel like they kind of screwed him over at WrestleMania 9 because that was so jokey and stupid.
But he was still a threat throughout 93.
Come on.
It was once he turned face and he like dumped water on Bobby, you know.
I mean, when you're fighting crappy Crush, like it's not really a good vehicle for him.
He did have a great match against Bret Hart at SummerSlam 93.
Yes.
Right? That was probably the apex of that heel doink character.
Was that at SummerSlam?
SummerSlam, and then Bret fought King.
Okay, right.
King was faking. Remember the crutches and the whole story?
Yeah.
A little old blue-haired lady who should have had her license revoked about 50 years ago pulled out in front of me, and she caused about a 10-car pileup.
Must have been hell and heart.
I just love that version of Doink, and then that's pretty much it. SummerSlam 93, right after that.
It's short-lived, but, I mean, the gimmick did not ever die. It's probably still, like, in their back pocket this day.
They still busted out. So they had a bunch of different guys play Doink for a period of time. They settle on the fat version that played him at, like, WrestleMania 10, Ray Licacelli or whatever his name is.
I don't even know who that is.
And he had Dink with them by then, and he had the stripey pants, if you recall.
Yeah, the stripey. That was when you knew. Like, he was just lesser.
You know, we just like to have a little fun. We never hurt anybody, and we have a good time.
And it was just not fun. There was no charisma. He was playing stupid jokes on heels, you know, like tripping them, and like, you know, it was dumb.
You know what's annoying about that is that because it died when it died, it could have been brought back as evil in the Attitude Era.
It absolutely could have.
But more deranged.
I thought they missed the
boat
there.
And that's the thing, and that's ECW picked up on that,
exactly.
Right?
So in 94, ECW brings in Matt Bourne. Then he turns into Doink.
This is ECW, and that clown is in the wrong place.
In the corner to my right, our wild card entry, Doink!
Oh, did he take a wrong turn on the Jersey Turnpike?
Then he has this crisis.
Yeah.
And I think Shane Douglas is involved with them,
There's
right?
There's other people involved. Like, he's kind of just up and down the roster, if I recall. Yeah. Like, he's just fighting people. But he is associated with Douglas.
When I looked at Doink and I'd flip the channel, he was everything I hated about this profession. And yet, when I looked at it, I knew there was something deep down, even underneath that makeup, that I just couldn't turn away from.
And so he turns into Bourne again.
Yeah.
And it's basically Matt Bourne with no shirt.
Yeah.
But he has like this little sliver of the Doink paint over his eye, but
right.
no mask or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's like he lost his mind.
Right. So he goes crazy. And this is exactly what the WWE should have done with it. But they just, I don't know what happened to Matt Bourne at that point.
Well,
he just kind of languished in the indies and just we never saw him again.
It's absolutely true. We never saw him again. Meanwhile, on the WWF side of things, Face Doink is just becoming worse and worse at this time.
Oh, he's just unbearable. Like, I just get out of here.
Awful. And of course, who could forget Survivor Series 94 when it was Doink, Dink, Pink, and Wink versus King.
That's the height of the shittiness.
Yeah,
like, it's
King,
like
Queasy, Cheesy, and Sleazy.
It's like, no, this has to go.
It's all set up for the Survivor Series. There's Doink, Dink, Wink, and Pink.
And finally, Doink disappeared around the end of 95, but would pop up occasionally.
Yeah.
One of the guys that played him was Steve Lombardi.
Yeah, and Chris Jericho, too.
Yes, Chris Jericho did dress
that
up
one
as Doink.
Time.
Jericho is one of the best, but as a clown, he really sucks.
Now, I loved the WrestleMania 17 reappearance of Doink.
Yeah, I mean,
it was nice to see him.
He was there.
I
also thought he made, I guess it was only that Chris Jericho appearance then. That's like, is that the latest appearance?
No, he's been
in
and out for years. He's come back on those Raw specials and the old schools. He's sometimes played by the Brawler, sometimes played by other people.
I don't know. You know what I see ultimately Doink being?
Yeah.
He just feels like a missed opportunity.
You're harkening back to our original format, but you're right.
He just feels like they turned him into like Duke the Dumpster or something.
Yep.
Like just a guy with a job.
Bob Sparkplug Holly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Henry Godwin. They just gave him his gimmick now is that he's a circus clown.
Like he's very literally a clown.
Instead of a deranged man wearing a clown suit.
Yeah, like he's the Joker or something.
Right.
Like, and that's where they messed up totally.
Now, did you know, Quinn, that out on the indies around the late 2000s, like the previous decade, you know, 2007, mm-hmm. 2008, after The Dark Knight came out, Matt Bourne reinvented the character to very closely resemble the Heath Ledger Joker.
Why do I keep doing this over and over and over again?
Did you know that?
I did not know
he
that.
Yeah, the short hair and like the Joker type face paint.
Well, it's interesting. There's been characters just like that too that have cropped up.
Sure.
TNA really, they were actually, for once, I hate to say TNA was smart, but they did it with when Sting lost his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He became basically the Joker.
I remember that.
And then also, I think the guy Crazy Steve is kind of like that.
Is that your friend Steve?
No, that's a real wrestler, and he is, that is one of the worst names ever,
really
by the
is.
Way. But I know his gimmick is generally like, he does wear clown makeup occasionally, if I recall. Like, our fans might crap on us, but it's TNA, so who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
But I thought I remember seeing Crazy Steve wearing that makeup.
Well, if Crazy Steve, if you're out there, let us know.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, I thought that the Matt Bourne, any iteration of him playing Doink was tremendous.
Yeah.
Look into my eyes. What do you see? That's not going to be your problem in Las Vegas, because I ain't going to be clowning around.
It sucked when it was a face character.
Mm-hmm.
But I give Vince credit for doing it.
Yeah.
For making a clown an evil character. And the way they presented it was that he was deranged, but an awesome technical wrestler.
Yes.
The original heel Doink. And that was the best part
of it. Because I think, were we supposed to know it was Matt Bourne in any way?
No.
No, right?
No.
Okay. But it's also in a time, even if you're not saying it's Matt Bourne, it's in a time when they would still say that, like, the wrestlers were, like, you have to be at a certain level to be here in the first place. So even though you might have been a clown in your time off, you had to be at least able to, like, handle yourself.
Absolutely.
Like, to win a match.
Yeah, exactly. And he was presented as a pretty serious threat when he was a heel.
Right.
And that's just one thing I wanted to mention, you know, is that they did a good job with that.
Yeah, they did.
I really thought they did, and it all went downhill after he turned face. Now, you mentioned the Attitude Era.
Right.
Now, do you, I do 100% agree it would have fit in
right.
to have like a heel clown.
Probably the earlier end, not yeah. the later end when everything was like sex and stuff.
Right, but maybe 97, 98.
Yeah, oh, would have fit perfectly, especially around that Pillman's Got a Gun period in like early 97.
Do you think that would have been a good fit for someone with, for like Mankind to either feud or team up with?
Probably team up with.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, that would be really good.
Deranged Mankind and a deranged clown?
Oh, you know what they could also do? It's like, you know how Mankind likes to rip his hair out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Doink could also be ripping
out of the mask
hair.
That's
and then
good.
It could keep getting, like, less hair, like, as the months go on. And it's like, it's just he starts looking, like, more dirty.
Yeah.
It's like there's, like, dirt stains on the white suit
yeah,
or whatever.
Like, he never washes his suit and everything. Yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome. Imagine Doink in hardcore matches and stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be fun, especially if Bourne was playing him.
Right. Well, it could only be Bourne. That's the thing. And then they would, you know, they would, if they had done that, we're getting really fantasy booky here, but they would have had like one of those interviews with JR, like all serious. You remember like how they did with Mankind?
Yeah,
it's like,
and
Matt Bourne was a baby boy and blah, blah, blah.
His father was Tough Tony Bourne.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he decided to become a clown.
And then he became a wrestler.
In high
and
school.
Then and then he kept losing and kept getting really deranged.
But yeah, I thought that was it was an interesting topic to talk about, Quinn.
Yeah, Doink.
Because we haven't really talked about him much, and he's obviously one of something that sticks out in people's minds from the 90s when you talk about retro wrestling.
Oh, people definitely remember Doink. But I think he gets a bad rap. I think like it's not
too.
Like the there's a good Doink and a bad Doink, we understand, but the good one's like really, really good.
The good one is the bad one.
Right.
The heel.
Yeah, the heel.
And the bad one is the face.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So now that we've got that cleared up, folks, let us know what you think of Doink. Both versions. Any version. I know that they sometimes rip that gimmick off on the indies because it's so easy to emulate. You just shove a guy in a clown suit and do the makeup.
Right.
They don't call him Doink, or if they do, they're doing it, you know, illegally.
He's the clown.
He's just, yeah. But anyway, folks, let us know what you think of Doink. You can do that by reaching us on any of the aforementioned things that we've talked about for communication.
Or the Facebook group.
Thank you,
too,
Quinn. Yes.
Because we didn't mention that.
How do they find that?
You go to facebook.com.
Yes.
And you type OVP podcast in the searchy thing.
And then you can friend request us too if you want.
Yeah. Well, you got to get in the group.
Go to the group.
Yeah. And then join the group.
Join the group.
Yeah.
We'll let you in.
Yep.
We'll be back right after this.
And ladies and gentlemen, this smiling face belongs to one Doink the Clown, the evil clown. I mentioned that.
I don't take that very kindly. There's nothing evil about me. It's because I have a smile on my face and you don't. Don't you have a sense of humor, Gene Okerlund?
Well,
I go everywhere with a smile on my face.
I don't have a sense of humor and neither does Crush.
Well, do you think that scares me? Ooh, I'm scared.
Well, if it doesn't scare you, I've got a surprise for you because standing
Ooh, I like
by...
surprises.
What's going on here? Now what's happened? Do we have a technical malfunction? Hey, what is this? What the? Are you guys trying to jerk me around? What's going on here? What is this? What? There are two of you, aren't there?
You see two?
Doink, I see two. Doink, two, say something.
Does that answer your question?
Oh, give me a break, please. Lose it, huh? Guys, enough of you.
You're as bad as Crush.
Doink or Doink's the clown. I knew all along there could have been a whole Volkswagen full of those guys.
You're listening to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, the fastest growing weekly episodic retro wrestling audio podcast in the world.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Glad to be with you this Monday, June 12th, 2017, for episode number 35. Quinn, it is now time for Mount Rushmore and Death Valley. And what we do here is we put four of the best of something onto Mount Rushmore, and four of the worst go into the desert of Death Valley, not with The Undertaker.
Yeah, he's not there. Thank you. You got it right this week.
As Quinn corrected me on last week. Yeah. So, Quinn, you have the honor of choosing this week what we're going to be putting onto these respective places. So, what do we got?
So, this week, I know we watched WBF last week, right?
Unfortunately, yes, we did.
And it got me thinking, something that's a mainstay in wrestling is strongmen.
Strongmen.
So, I wanted to do a Mount Rushmore and Death Valley of... wrestling strongmen. No surprise.
No surprise there. Okay, strong men. What do you define, Quinn, as a strong man?
So, like, just as an example, like, the Lex Lugers of the world, like, people, like, who it's, like, basically their entire MO is that they can pick up things and they're strong. Like, you know, like, there's tons of these in wrestling.
Absolutely.
Like, the British Bulldog. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is just, like, parameters. Like
Brock Lesnar.
Right, yeah. Like, just big guys that are, like...
Ultimate warrior.
But not in a sense where they're, like, big. In a sense where they're, like, their hype thing is that they're strong.
Okay. The first one that comes to my mind, Hulk Hogan.
Really?
Yeah! He body slammed Andre the Giant. He picked up 1,200-pound Andre, and then he died a few days later.
I wrestled Andre the Giant with these boots on. And then a couple days later, he passed on.
He did kill Andre, according to him. But, I mean, see, Hogan straddles the line of strongman.
He's a Hulk.
Yeah, but of strongman and, like
the
hero, like, American archetype thing.
Okay.
So it's like, it really depends on, like, what you are thinking of Hogan as. Like, in that sense.
I think of him as a strong man. He was 6'7", you know, allegedly, 300 pounds.
303 pounds, I think.
You're
allegedly.
Right. Allegedly. He body slammed Andre a couple times. He couldn't body slam Yoko.
Yes.
But one guy did.
Yes.
Lex Luger. A couple guys did, but Luger was the first.
Yeah. So, I mean, Hogan, definitely, he's probably the most prominent of the strongmen.
Hell yeah, I would say.
If you want to classify them, I mean, like, there's definitely a lot of strongmen, but Hogan.
Hogan is up there in my book. Do you want to counteroffer me?
What about, like I said, the British Bulldog is, like, to me, like, he's all about being strong. Like,
well, yeah.
Because I'm bizarre!
He did have some moves that clearly illustrated that point. He did the high vertical suplex where he would lift him up for, you know, 10 seconds.
The power slam.
He did the, you know, the gorilla press.
Right.
But he was also a very apt technical wrestler.
That's true.
Technical wrestler, right?
Yeah. Does he, like, here's the thing with strongmen. I feel like it's like they really have to be about the being strong. Like,
and
it's
that's,
like,
all there is to them?
Yeah. So it's like, while the Bulldog, when I was a kid, they would always hype the crap out of, like, how strong he was.
Yeah.
Like, but, like you said, he had technical aspects, and he wasn't always, like, presented that way.
Sure.
He was, like, presented, like, at the tag team part of his career as just, like, another, like, guy.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
definitely.
That was, like, a technical jumpy thing.
Well, here's a strong guy that was pretty much only a strong guy as far as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmed Johnson.
Well, actually, I think he's not anywhere close to this Mount Rushmore part.
Okay.
I think he's elsewhere.
Well, let's lay down a ground rule then.
Okay.
What constitutes a good or a bad strongman, Quinn?
He's got to have a little character to him, and that's why I'm definitely saying probably Hulk Hogan. Like, you've probably made your point right there by saying what puts them in there.
I would think so.
Like, probably Hulk Hogan.
I've been hanging and banging at the World's Gym in Somerville. That's why I've been taking advantage of every situation. Every time I get a chance to sneak in and hang and bang and do a little extra ab work, brother.
You want someone that's not one-dimensional, but you want someone that is a strong man? Is that the idea?
Strongly identified, no pun intended, but strongly identified as a strong man.
Hulk Hogan, man.
Yeah.
I can't see a reason not to put him in as number one.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's put Mr. Hogan on. He gets onto a lot of these things. You notice that?
He does.
That's a good case for being one of the best wrestlers of all time.
Right.
If you really think about it.
He's like the Babe Ruth of wrestling.
Yes, he is.
Not like Macho Man.
Let's put Hogan on. We're very serious today.
Yeah.
We're taking the show very serious today,
very
folks.
Very loose.
We're here to help you pass your time at work. You know, summer's coming up. Kick back with OVP.
Right.
Maybe you don't listen to us until after work. Open up a nice cold beer.
Yeah.
Or a cold
soda.
Unlike
these strongmen. Because they don't drink.
No, they don't drink.
They're only lifting weights all the time.
What about Cesaro?
Honestly, that's part of the
problem that you just asked me that question, because I don't really care.
Ooh, Cesaro's a good one. And that's like a different kind of strongman.
Because he doesn't have the stereotypical look.
Yeah.
The beef look.
Yeah, it's true. Would you classify, because I feel like he wasn't presented this way, but he always had like a good body, was Ravishing Rick Rude. Like, but like, was it classified as strong, would
he
you say?
He was fit.
He was just fit.
Yeah, he wasn't necessarily strong.
Yeah, but Cesaro,
fit.
They hype the crap out of how strong he is.
The suplex, like from the floor.
He's done some of the most impressive work with the strongman gimmick.
Yeah, of course, the big swing, but a bunch of different power moves.
But like the stuff where he would like suplex people, like you said, from like I feel like I remember him doing one where somebody was like on the actual floor and then he like lifted them up and like brought them into the ring somehow.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
He also calmly like threw out Big Show or something out of the Andre Battle Royal
just
when he won
him
it.
Up.
Yeah. I think he was he's awesome. He is so underrated.
Yeah, he is a very underrated guy.
Maybe underutilized, because I think the internet rates him well.
Yes.
But maybe underutilized is a better word.
Let's put him to the side for a second, but what about the original strongman, like flamboyant strongman in Superstar Billy Graham?
That's true. That was a big part of his gimmick. I mean, that guy popularized the whole Hulk Hogan routine before Hogan.
Before anyone. Like, there was always strongmen.
Yes.
But, like, you know, Superstar Billy Graham is what started to give it character.
Yes.
And to a certain extent, you know who's another one? Ivan Putski. I mean, he really was about, like, being strong.
Being short, stout, but strong.
Right.
Because that was his whole deal, right? Yeah. He was a short little Polish guy, but he was really big.
But his character was like, he was an everyman.
He was an everyman. He would just fight you.
Drink beer.
And drink beer, yeah. That was awesome when he had the beard. I like Graham.
Because I'm in shape. I'm powerful. I'm strong. I wake up every morning. Every morning. Work out for 5 hours. Run 19 miles a day. Swim across the Atlantic Ocean. Unbelievable condition.
Graham.
Graham's a good one.
Graham over Ivan.
Yeah, I would say over Ivan. I'm trying to reach back. Now, folks, we know that we're probably going to miss people.
Oh, because there's so many.
From the 50s and 60s that we just can't think of right now. And that's why you let us know your Mount Rushmore and Death Valley of strongmen.
Right. And I personally feel, while we're on the topic of like missing earlier guys, that strongman thing really started with like the Ivan Putskis and Billy Grahams, like as far as like being more prominent. Like, there was always guys that were in shape before that, but like they really kind of highlighted technical guys more so.
True.
Before that,
you had your Gene Kiniskis and your Killer Kowalskis and these bigger guys and stuff like that.
But they weren't presented as like they could pick up stuff and they were in good shape.
Not like, to the extent that you'd get the personality and the real flamboyancy of a guy like Billy Graham.
And like the posing and stuff. Like, there was no posing before Billy
Graham.
Not
like that, anyway. Yeah. No. Graham is a really good one.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to counter, but I'm going to give you one more. What about the Warrior?
I was going to bring him up too.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior. I feel like the part of him that's so ultimate is like his physique. Like, that's like what makes him look like a ultimate warrior.
Right.
Like, literally.
I cannot read an article about overtraining or burning out your central nervous system without my fucking estrogen levels going up.
Yeah, the Ultimate Warrior, and of course he had all the charisma in the world. Like, that was
absolutely.
I mean, that's almost all he had, but
I still think that his whole gimmick and his overall look and what he did would qualify him.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Another guy that body slammed Andre. You know, he did that in 89, I think. He body slammed Andre a few times. Did the gorilla press, high impact moves.
But that guy also looked like he had like muscles on top of muscles.
Yeah.
I mean, I always thought he was impressive as a kid.
Absolutely.
Like, I was like, damn, like this guy he's strong. Like, he made like when Ahmed Johnson was around with him look like a joke.
That's true.
Like, even in his like reduced
in 96,
state.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, he, because it's just the Ultimate Warrior was like crazy strong. Strong.
You know what? I'm reminded now of someone we've mentioned being body slammed, but what about Andre the Giant himself?
As a strong man? I mean,
well,
I
he's a giant.
I get it, but it's not the same thing to me.
Because he's inherently strong because he's big.
Right. It's more like defined by your muscles rather than your size.
Right. Like, okay.
You know what I mean?
Because he's a giant.
Right.
That was his gimmick.
Right.
Not that he was strong.
It's not like Andre would just like make like muscle poses and stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
Never.
In fact, he almost like, because he was so big,
he was doughy.
He could seem doughy and also lanky at times when you saw his like arms.
Especially 70s Andre.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So we won't worry about him.
Right.
Warrior, huh?
Yeah, Warrior.
Warrior might really be up there.
Yeah. Now, did we put Graham on?
We didn't put Graham on.
I think we should put him on because I think he's the pioneer of the thing. Of the
power wrestling style.
Yeah.
And he certainly did it before Hogan.
Right. Hogan popularized it, but Graham started
really innovated it. Yeah. All right. You know what? Superstar Billy Graham deserves to be on there as one of the strong man type wrestlers.
Right.
Let's put him on there. All right, so we got Hogan and Graham.
Right. I'm trying to think of any, like, would you put Lex Luger on there? Like, that Lex Luger's controversial to me.
As Lex Luger himself would say, I don't know!
Yeah.
I don't know!
I think we've come to the Lex Luger question here.
I think we have made a left turn and it led to Lex Luger.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I feel like Luger's WWF run especially, all he was about was the muscles.
But isn't Luger like a 5 out of 10 in general as a wrestler historically?
Yeah, but
overall,
he could have his moments like in WCW.
He's not on the level of an Ultimate Warrior, though.
No, but he had a thing about him where if you saw him pick up a heavy thing like Yokozuna, for example.
Yes.
Or like that guy could, he was so strong in the fact that, like, the torture rack, especially when you started doing that more.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'd see him do, like, Hugh Morris, like, put him in the torture rack.
He put it on Roadblock.
Yeah, big guys like that. But, like, you know, Hugh Morris is, like, another larger guy and Roadblock. He put the giant.
He put the giant in it, you're right.
I mean, come
on. That's true.
Like,
if that's, like, the WCW equivalent to body slamming Andre.
Right. And not only that, he was in WWF and he body slammed Yokozuna,
yes,
like the heaviest guy ever.
Which no one had done before
right.
in WWF.
And there's a thing about Luger. To me, he's actually the strongest strong guy as far as like the character is concerned, because I feel like he's defined by it more so than the rest of them.
That was always one of his things.
Right. And an audience could sometimes explode watching him do these feats of strength. Like,
true.
Like the Yokozuna, like the torture rack, like when he won the WCW title and put Hogan in the torture rack. Like, it's him doing a strongman thing to win the title, but at the same time, that's his character, you know? And even when he got, like, reduced and all junky, like, do you remember, like, his gimmick became later in his career, like, that he was, like, Mr. Fitness or something, like, with Miss Elizabeth
yes,
and had the, like, fitness man on
in
his
like 99,
front.
Yeah.
Like, literally everything about him is defined by his, like, body and, like, his strength.
You know, it's rare that you're going to see Lex Luger on a Mount Rushmore of anything.
Yeah, but this is the only thing he, like, excelled at to me.
You built a very good case for him.
Yeah. He's the most, like, associated with that to me, in my brain.
When you think Luger, you think a very strong guy,
mm-hmm.
good power moves, capable of doing that kind of stuff in the ring.
Right.
He could wrestle technically a little bit, too.
A little bit, but it really wasn't his core thing, like, as a wrestler.
It's not where his bread was buttered.
Right. It was overpowering opponents and, like, being
true.
Able to pick up people heavier than him.
He did a lot of posing, too.
Yep. The posing. I mean, part of his entrance was just him posing. Yeah,
he was the narcissist, for crying out loud. You know what? I think you've built a very good case for Luger.
Yeah.
All right. You want to put him in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's put Luger in. That's a pretty good company right now.
Yeah, that's pretty good for strongmen.
What about Goldberg?
Do you really think of him that way, though?
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, here's the thing with Goldberg, and maybe it's just me. To me, the thing that popped out with him to me was he felt real. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, the fact that, like, he wore those, like, gloves and, like, no, but, I mean, it made him look like a fighter rather than a strongman, per se.
But if you look at his finisher was a power move.
It was
the jackhammer,
but is that the main feature of Goldberg? Like,
it's one of them. I mean, he did it to the giant.
But is that the primary feature? The feature
the
of Goldberg is being undefeated. It's not about being strong.
Because he was so strong, he won all his matches in like less than 2 minutes.
I mean,
he
I
was
guess
overpowering.
No, it's definitely like a fair point.
I think we might have to fairly consider him. Let's stack him up against some other people.
But does he line up against Cesaro as far as strength being the primary thing? Like,
yeah, I think he does, because even though Cesaro did some impressive feats and stuff like that,
yeah,
Goldberg's whole thing is that you couldn't beat him because he was so strong and overpowering.
Yeah.
And his finisher was a power move.
Right.
You know, a hard to do move. It's like a vertical suplex into a power slam.
You know who I think is actually an interesting strongman, because he doesn't really get any love or anything? I think the Barbarian. Yeah, the Barbarian is such a, like, it's like when I see him, I'm like, damn, like,
yeah,
he looks so impressive. Like,
now, Barbarian's a guy that is underrated.
Yeah, he's super underrated.
Anyone that thinks he sucks needs to get over it.
You need to go watch.
Like, he's good.
Yeah, he is really good. And, like, when he does stuff, it's with such authority. Like,
yep.
And that's what kind of makes me, like, he always pops in my head as, like, a strong wrestler. Like,
I agree.
It's, and just, like, even when he was in the tag team in the, not the Powers of Pain, the what was the Faces of Fear?
Faces of Fear, yes.
Like, to see him just, like, wreck some dude, like, while Haku was, like, standing outside or whatever, yeah. Like, oh, he's just good in that sense.
He was really good, but if we're gonna put on the likes of guys like Hogan, Luger, that
Barbarian
have accomplishments,
would seem out of place.
He would seem out of place. What about Brock?
Oh, man, Brock is a super good case. So, Brock, he just doesn't seem human.
Yeah.
It's, like, crazy, like, I once heard someone describe something that he did that when he broke a car door off. He basically broke it down and was saying that, do you realize, like, how strong you have to be to do that? Like,
yeah, right.
And, like, Brock really did this. Even if the door itself was gimmicked, he threw it into the crowd.
Oh, that's right. He injured people.
Yes, he threw a car door.
Yeah.
Like, okay, taking it off, is if it was loosened, is one thing, but that was definitely a real car door. To throw a car door into the crowd, like, and to, like, it went, like, airborne.
Yeah, those things are heavy. You ever have one hit you in the leg?
Yeah, exactly. He threw that thing.
Now,
like, holy crap.
Now, vehicles aside, Glenn,
yeah.
Let me throw a couple other names out there real quick.
Yeah.
Are we considering guys like Undertaker and Kane?
No, because
Supernatural?
It's A, it's Supernatural. And B, in all honesty, I personally never thought of the Undertaker as strong. I think of him as tall and
tall.
Like yeah, like, and the same with Kane.
Yeah,
like,
just tall. What about Sid?
Sid's kind of impressive, actually.
He's like, impressive.
He's a very impressive specimen.
Why? Because I rule the world.
Like, no, like, that's kind of what they would,
yeah,
a specimen. Like, he is ridiculous. Like, his traps are, like, huge. But
good traps.
But Brock is way more actually, like, I wish Brock and Sid existed in the same time, because that would be a great matchup.
That would have been interesting to see. Yeah.
Sid is, like, he's tall and he's strong.
Yep. Nash, no way, right? Not Nash.
Yeah, I also think that if you want to bring Goldberg back into the equation,
I do.
Brock Lesnar is, like,
versus Goldberg.
Oh my god! Like, Brock Lesnar, it's embarrassing to me that anyone ever thought Goldberg could beat Brock, and they actually, like, had him win twice in, like, flukes just to make sure Goldberg didn't look like garbage when they finally got to the match they wanted to have.
That's a, like, good point. Yeah. Like, all right. We're eliminating Cesaro because just not enough accomplishments.
And he can't compete with Brock.
And Barbarian.
Barbarian, out. Again, not enough. I mean, personally, I think the Barbarian could hold his own against Brock because he's just insane. But
right,
like,
right.
Yeah.
But we're going to dump him.
Yeah.
And we're going to dump Sid. It's between Brock and Goldberg, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got to go. It's got to be Brock. It's got to be Brock. Like,
well, not only was Brock's strength and superhumanity played up.
Yeah.
But he could also wrestle.
Yes. He was an NCAA champion.
In real life.
And just this fact should amplify him.
Mm-hmm.
He has a sword tattooed on his chest.
He does.
He has a freaking sword tattooed on his chest that's already too big.
True. Brock did beat John Cena rather handedly.
Yes.
Did defeat The Undertaker.
Yep.
Did break the streak, right?
Yep. Has been a world champion.
Has been a dominant world champion. Bill Goldberg was undefeated for a very long time, over a year.
Yeah.
Goldberg beat a lot of people in under 2 minutes.
But undefeated streaks in the history books, I don't think mean as much
Tell
as
Dave
titles.
Meltzer that.
as titles and who you beat. Beating some geek every week on Saturday night in Nitro is not the same thing as beating the likes of The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
That's true. It's impressive to beat Dave Taylor in 5 minutes.
Kind of.
But the guy that beat Dave Taylor in five minutes got beat by Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania in 5 minutes.
Right.
And not only that, Brock Lesnar.
Look at his name.
Yeah.
Like, his name just sounds strong.
You know what? I think we got to go Brock.
Yeah.
Once you go Brock, you never go back. You want to do it?
Yep. All let's do it.
All right, folks. So that is our Mount Rushmore of strongmen. We want to know yours. And I guess I, Quinn, have the privilege of going for the worst. And before I do that, I guess you'll agree with me, Quinn.
Yeah.
That the bad strongman was something that's very prevalent back in the day, because it seemed like especially Vince, but even other promoters, thought they could cash in by having just a really strong guy.
My name is Bracker, and ich komme von Deutschland.
Literally, since Superstar Billy Graham, like, everyone had like a jerky, crappy strongman to go along with the strongman.
Right. And my first choice for Death Valley here, you'll remember him. And folks, maybe you will too if you're a fan of the 80s. Ted Arcidi. Remember that piece of shit?
His name is Ted Arcidi, and what this gentleman is, he is the strongest power lifter ever, ever, ever in the history. He has bench pressed 750 pounds.
Yeah, he was some piece of garbage, all right.
What the hell was the deal with that guy?
You know what bothered me the most about Ted Arcidi?
What?
His shoes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Quinn always with the minutia here.
Well, because he always looked like he was more prepared to go to a weightlifting event than a wrestling match.
Well, that's the thing, folks. If you don't know who Ted Arcidi was, he was this, like, power lifter. Like, he bench pressed 700 pounds, but somehow Vince got his hands on him, and he wound up in the WWF in, like, I want to say, like, 85, 86. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I feel like he actually, like, popped in and out sometimes, too.
Yeah, but he was awful. It was just one of those examples, an early example of Vince importing somebody from somewhere else and trying to make him something, and he was terrible.
Yes.
But obviously, we'll volley here. You have one, Quinn?
Ahmed Johnson. Because we mentioned him before, and I needed to get him in there, too.
Okay. Why? I'm not saying I disagree.
Because he can't speak English.
Hey, if you want to play like that, there ain't nothing between us but Air of Duty, boy. So go ahead, bring it to him.
They tried. I'll give them credit. They tried.
He made a huge debut. He body slammed Yoko.
Yeah. But
Intercontinental Champion?
Overall, he was garbage.
Like, overall, he was bad.
Like, they gave him the Intercontinental title, he beat Goldust, and then he did nothing. And you know what another thing about him is that they always like to say, like, he's so strong, he's so great or whatever.
Yeah.
But then he's always wearing, like, puffy jackets and stuff. Like, why? Like, the whole point of him is that he's strong.
So you wanted to see more of his muscles?
Well, if that's his thing, then what? Why are they not showing it? Like,
you wanted to see his muscles.
I didn't want to personally see his muscles.
You wanted other people to see his muscles.
If you're a strong man, yes, right, you should not be covering up your muscles.
That's a good point.
It's your bread and butter. It's your livelihood. It's your muscle.
Ticket.
Yeah, it's your meal ticket. And just, again, I can't say enough the talking. Like, it was so bad.
It was bad. I'm sure you're going to hear a clip of it right about now.
So there you have it. And that's all you need to know about Ahmed Johnson being on the Death Valley, to be honest with you.
But was he really worse than Ted Arcidi? Come on.
You only say that because he got a title, but he only got a title because Vince, like, likes the WBF. Like,
I think Ted Arcidi is worse because at least Ahmed had some natural wrestling ability. Not a lot.
No way. He didn't have any.
What, he had a little.
You're crazy.
He was okay.
No. He was not good at wrestling
I didn't
either.
Say he was good.
Remember when he was in WCW?
Big T.
Yeah. Remember that great wrestling over there? He sucked.
That
Joe.
Looks like he had a few meal tickets when he was in WCW.
He was puffier and he could wrestle less. Like, he wrestled more terrible.
But he's not worse than Ted Arcidi. Ted Arcidi!
We're only at the beginning here, Chow.
What, you got another one?
Dino Bravo?
Oh, yeah, you know why he might qualify? Because he stretched this shit out for a long time.
Oh my God.
He was presented as good.
Yep.
In fact, there's even a campaign on Scott's blog. There's a guy with the username Dino Bravo sucks.
Yeah, well, that everyone thinks Dino Bravo sucks. He's one of the worst wrestlers ever.
The pilot to our podcast was based around Dino Bravo sucking.
Yes. Okay. And that whole thing with the, like, him lifting the weight or whatever.
Rumble 88.
And then, like, he got, like, help or something.
From Jesse Ventura helped him, yes.
Yes. Why?
So he wasn't even a legit strongman.
He wasn't even a legit. He was like a fake strongman, but he was also kind of looked like he was strong. And he like injured people.
He was fat.
Yeah.
He was also like a fat strongman.
He stunk.
Which is the worst kind of strongman.
And then the cigarettes happened to him.
And then the cigarettes happened to him. You know what? The thing about Dino Bravo is, you know, sure, you can find a, you're right, you can find a Ted Arcidi. You can even find an Ahmed Johnson a couple of year run. Dino Bravo lingered around way past his welcome.
Dino Bravo is like one of the worst.
Dino Bravo is legitimately one of my least favorite wrestlers. He's always been. It's not because of the movement on the internet.
You and me have been talking for years, Joe,
about how bad Dino Bravo is. I think since his whole gimmick was the world's strongest man or Canada's strongest man, I'd say he qualifies. And I'd say he sucks.
Yep. You want to put him in. Just put him in. Get him out. Put him in the dumpster. Get him out of here.
All right. Here he goes. All right. So that's over with. I'm still campaigning for Arcidi, but I've got another one up my sleeve, Quinn.
Okay.
You ever heard of the Warlord?
I thought he only likes Domino's Pizza.
And the Warlord, all he's interested in is Domino's Pizza. Give me a break here.
I mean, the Warlord. Okay. I'll say this about the Warlord. He did have a good match with the British Bulldog at WrestleMania.
He did at WrestleMania 7. It's an excellent match,
He's
actually.
He's kind of funny. Like, his whole, like...
It's almost like he doesn't take it too seriously, right?
Right. There's something... There's almost, like, a charm to him. I don't understand... Like, if I'm trying to get him off of Death Valley...
Right. There is a charm to the, like, the post-Powers of Pain gimmick.
Yeah.
Where he's got the wand
the
and everything.
The W wand, yeah. Like,
there is
he's
some
got
charm.
Harvey Whippleman with him. Like, he's kind of too goofy to fall under the worst because he's kind of lovable.
A little innocent,
way.
Right? Yeah. A little naive.
Yeah. And also, he's not bad in the Powers of Pain.
No, for what they are, he's not. Okay, fine. You got one for me?
Tony Atlas.
Yeah, you know what? I know people that, you know, grew up with the WWF or WWF in the early 80s have very fond memories of Atlas and Rocky Johnson.
It's only that, though.
Winning the tag titles from the Samoans in 83. Tony Atlas, though, sucked.
He was not a good wrestler.
He was an
awful
wrestler.
He has no personality.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Other than when they made him that, like, laughing thing when he was, like, a million years old. Like, remember when he came back, he's like, huh, huh, huh.
He was
like,
also Saba Simba.
Yeah, he was Saba Simba, that youngster.
Yeah, Tony Atlas, I feel bad in the way for the guy.
Yeah.
But he was terrible.
He's admitted it, that it, like, there's literally a clip that plays of him in the Legends of Wrestling, like, too much too soon or whatever. Like, even he knows he sucked.
Yeah. He's another guy that he was positioned to be something that he really wasn't.
Yeah.
Same way Bravo was, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't just a flash in the pan, you know, like Ted Arcidi or remember that WCW guy, Bill Kazmaier. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but
I've never heard of him.
He was basically WCW's version of Ted Arcidi, where he was like a former power lifter, world's strongest man type of thing. And he was in WCW in like 91. Another terrible thing. But I know that since you don't know enough about him, I don't really either. He's probably deserves to be on there, but I'll let our fans put him on there.
Right.
But back to Atlas. Yeah, Atlas is a pretty damn bad one.
Yeah.
Can I give you another?
I've got another too, but you can go first.
Ludwig Borga.
That was the one I had. I'm not even making that up.
You know why? Because America is
crumbling. Yes.
This building is crumbling like America is crumbling.
Ludwig is horrible. Like,
yep.
I would dare to say he's worse than Tony Atlas.
He is. No disrespect to the guy. He died a while ago.
Yeah,
Tony
he was the
Helm.
President of Sweden, right?
He was a senator in Finland, yes.
Apologies.
Close enough. But he was awful.
Yeah.
He was really bad.
He was crumbling.
He was crumbling.
And his whole thing was just basically he was like the evil version of Lex Luger.
Yes, so he was.
Like, he's the evil strongman.
He sucked.
Yeah.
That was the definition of like this powerhouse wrestler that could not wrestle.
Yes.
Like, sorry, guy.
Yeah.
You were bad.
So is Dino Bravo, who's in?
Dino Bravo.
Did we officially put Dino Bravo in?
He is the only one.
Oh, well, Ludwig, I think, should immediately join him. I mean, there's not much to say. He had a short run, but if the only thing we can really say about him is America's crumbling, like, yeah, that's like all he had.
And he was one of those guys that Vince had a hard on for and was going to push if he didn't get injured in 94.
To me, he's like also like weirdly a fake Brock Lesnar. Like,
I always noticed that too.
His like look or something, like there's something Lesnar-y about him.
You're very
like,
proto Lesnar.
Yeah.
But he was terrible.
Yeah.
No charisma. I mean, that promo is fun. Yeah. His American crumbling.
It's fun because he delivers it so poorly.
Yeah, I know.
Like, if that's all there is to say about him.
This
like,
pollution.
Yeah. Talking about pollution.
This
now?
Building's crumbling.
Yeah.
It's an environmentalist gimmick, so for that he should be in.
Yep. Get him out of here.
All right. Good company, Bravo, yeah, and Borga, double B there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Atlas flying around a little bit. I've still got Ted Arcidi on my radar.
Yeah.
You still got Ahmed Johnson.
I still got, and I have another one.
Okay.
Hercules.
See, that's a tough one because
I know, because you like the original one, but
yeah,
I
Hercules
mean,
Hernandez was
literally
awesome.
After that, with the fuzzy hair or whatever,
and the gray beard, the greasy face,
he is garbage.
The steroid belly,
he stinks, Joe. Like,
he does.
He really stinks. And yeah, then when he gets like, when he's in Power and Glory and he's supposed to be the power, quite literally, he's more like a guy that ate too much pizza, or like he's like fat.
Drank too much Bush beer.
Yeah. Like he looks like junk and he's supposed to be the power.
I know a guy that you hate worse than him that was a strong man.
What?
Crush.
Yeah. He stinks. Oh my goodness, Crush is bad.
Crush is really bad.
You know, I try to justify him with the like the one that was in the Indian film and like when he was that version with Mr. Fuji.
That's the worst version of him. You're the only person I've ever met that prefers that.
I prefer it, but that's not saying I like it. It's saying that that's the best thing I can find out of him.
See, Crush to me and Hercules are almost the same quality of bad.
I think Hercules is worse. Because Crush, at least, he was in a tag team that was good, and like he...
So was Hercules. Power and Glory. They were good. Don't look at me that way.
Stop.
They were good!
They are horrible. You got one guy who thinks he's better than Ric Flair, and another guy who's like fat and out of shape.
Okay, fine, but is Hercules...
That team sucked, Joe. Don't ever defend them again on this show.
Is Hercules worse than Ahmed Johnson?
Ooh, that's tough.
I'd say Hercules is better than Ahmed Johnson.
He is, but I don't know if Crush is better than Ahmed Johnson.
Crush is better than Ahmed Johnson.
Okay. I'll give it to you. I was going to see if you had any objections to that, but...
I think we should throw Ahmed in.
Yeah, he's just stinky. Like
he really was bad.
Yeah.
Okay, Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah.
Number three. Well, I've still... got Ted Arcidi on my radar. You know what, Quinn?
But we didn't put Tony Atlas in either.
We
don't
didn't
forget
put
about
Tony
him.
Atlas in. Another one we didn't mention in the Rushmore part, and maybe we should have, but he might also qualify for Death Valley. Ken Patera.
Yes, this is a strange case, because Ken Patera's initial like run, like in the early 80s, late 70s,
yep.
Like, he's awesome.
Yo,
like,
yeah,
he's one of the better heels, the second Intercontinental Champion.
Yep.
And, you know, he's got a good physique, and he has a cool look to him with the, like, bleach blonde puffy hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he actually looks like a dick, like an actual jerk, and he looks like a threat.
He looks like a threat. He was a power wrestler, billed as a very strong man.
But he comes back after his prison where he did a strong act and threw, like, a rock through a McDonald's.
Strong act.
And that is his final strong act as being good at anything. He goes to prison. He comes back and he looks like a lady. He comes back looking like an old lady.
Comes back looking like Richard Simmons.
Yeah, Richard Simmons crossed with an old lady. Remember, which Richard Simmons looks like an old woman.
Also kind of looks like Donna's dad on that 70s show.
Kind of, yeah. He does. He does look like Donna's dad. That's a good one.
Thank you. Yeah, so...
It's so heinous And it's so like a betrayal to the Ken Patera character in my eyes.
I know
that it like really starts to throw him into Death Valley of a strong, and like that's bad.
I'd say he's like he's falling over the cliff, but his bleach blonde self like pulls him back just enough that he doesn't like, fall in.
Just like enough so he
just
doesn't
enough
so like the Tony Atlases of the world can like be falling before him.
Right. What about Atom Bomb?
I kind of don't put him in the strongman cat. He's kind of, to me, he's like a towering kind of guy. He's like tall. Like, I don't think of him that way.
Now, I would not throw this guy into Death Valley, but I just want to make sure that our fans know that we forgot him and I remembered him. Mark Henry.
Right.
He wouldn't be in either.
So here's the thing is that while Mark Henry is literally billed as the world's strongest man, I always felt that his size, he was more like a Vader type than he was a strong man.
Right.
I don't know how else it's going to sound weird to the fans, but if you think about the Lex Lugers and the like
Warriors Hogan.
And stuff like that, you don't really think of Mark Henry in that vein.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Now, do you throw Scott Steiner into either of these? I mean, we can't go back, but
I do think Scott Steiner might fall into the bad.
You do? Why?
Because Big Papa Pump is like awful. Prominently terrible.
He's
like,
awful. He was a great wrestler when he was Scott Steiner in the 90s.
Yeah, but the promos, Joe, the promos, and this is what threw Ahmed into the Death Valley. That's why Scott Steiner is dangerously close.
And I'm going to look at the whole world, and I'm going to say Vinny Vidi Bucci.
Big Papa Pump as a wrestler and as a promo guy is really bad, and he was really bad for a long time.
Now, did something happen to him prior to being Big Papa Pump? Because, like, did he get injured or something? Because it's like almost like he went from a good wrestler to he couldn't do anything. Like, what happened?
Well, Quinn, see, there's these things that wrestlers sometimes take, and what they do is they inject them usually in their ass.
But do you think...
And they're called steroids. And what they do is they make them very puffy and very big. And then they get huge and they can't wrestle as well.
Steroids. Is that always the case, though? Like,
yes.
I never thought of steroids as hindering your actual ability.
If you take that many of them, they are. Hmm. You ever see Don Morocco in 88?
What was particularly wrong with Scott Steiner, though? That's what I can never figure out. He went from, like, he was always big.
He was not that big.
No,
He got steroid puffy in, like, 98, and he never looked back. It's true.
Holla if you hear me.
Yeah, holla if you hear me. He had the hookup.
Yeah.
Zahorian had the hookup.
I mean, he could have been a great wrestler, too. He was good for a long time.
Yeah. He might, I didn't think of him, but yeah, until now, but he really might be.
You know what's interesting about him? He's another Ken Patera case where the first half was pretty good, and then, like, he fell off.
Yeah. It's
hard. I don't think he's as bad as like Ted Arcini or Tony Atlas.
If it's between those two, I'm putting Ted Arcini in. only because at least we talked about accomplishments for the Rushmore. At least Tony Atlas was a tag champion.
But
at
okay,
least
that's
he
a,
was successful.
Joe, that's a double-edged sword because if you're an accomplished you have one accomplishment, is the disappointment of what Tony Atlas became worse than not being anything as Ted Arcini is?
What you're saying is the fall hurts harder if you're higher up.
Right.
Mm.
See, that guy was on the pinnacle. He was on the fast track to being like a world champion, and he just sucked so much.
Then he became at the fast food.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate to put Tony Atlas in there, but...
Why? What is your... Do you even like Tony Atlas?
No.
Then why is he, what's your problem? Like, he's just not good. Like, it has nothing to do with anything else. He's just not good.
Do you want him in Death Valley?
Yeah, because I think Ted Arcini is just, there's nothing to him. Like, there's not enough. Like,
all right, well, then
it's almost like in baseball, right?
Yeah.
If you have, like, a batting average of 1,000, but you only batted once.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make you the best. Or if you only batted once
and you have zero,
it doesn't make you the worst.
You want to hear my problem with Tony Atlas?
What?
So there you go, folks. Yeah. That's our Mount Rushmore and Death Valley of Strongmen. Let us know what you think. I'm sure we've missed people, overlooked people, or maybe you just disagree with us, and that's fine. We'd love to talk to you about it. You can reach us on Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can email us at OVPPodcast@gmail.com. And of course, comment away on our Facebook group. So check us out there. In the meantime, we will be back right after this.
For months, you've been seeing IcoPro all around the WWF. But just what is IcoPro?
IcoPro is the result of years of
steroids.
IcoPro is a complete
steroids
supplement line that can help you develop muscle mass and definition, as well as increase your energy and endurance. To really achieve the body you want,
all you do is take a pill or take a shot in the butt every day.
That's what IcoPro is all about.
Hey, it's Sean Mooney. I may no longer be in the event center, but if I was, I'd be talking about our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast. All right, boys, let's get to it.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Quinn, it's time for our final segment. We're reviewing something.
Yes, we are.
You know what? I thought of something, Quinn.
What?
Before we get to the review. You know how a lot of people have trouble sleeping?
Yeah.
I thought of a great way to make a lot of money. You know how people go to medical school, learn about medicine?
Mm-hmm.
We should just write prescriptions for WWF superstars from 1994.
Yes.
Because we have found, folks, the cure for insomnia.
Definitely. This was a snooze fest.
This was. What we're reviewing today is WWF superstars from October 1st, 1994. Now, a little context here. This is shortly into my run as a wrestling fan. I got into wrestling in the summer of 94, so I was definitely watching this at the time. I don't remember watching it, but I know I was. I always watched Superstars. And Quinn, you were only a couple of months away from really becoming a fan.
Yes, I probably saw some of this stuff, but I didn't really, wasn't into it just in October. It was more like November, December.
Right.
However, I wonder if you had a sleep problem as a child, and maybe this was maybe that's the reason you became a wrestling fan, is your mom tried to find something on TV and get you to fall asleep.
Yeah. So, folks, you know, Superstars at one time was their flagship show. That was their A show. But with the advent of Raw in January of 93, Superstars really ceased mattering.
Yeah.
And we're at that time right now. This is an absolute futon.
This is
a sofa bed.
This is a sleep number.
Yeah, exactly.
Set to 100.
This is 1-800-MATTRES.
Leave off the last S for saving.
Superstars.
Yeah, for Superstars. Yeah, that's a good one.
So anyway, Quinn, the first thing you said to me as we turned it on during the intro is, oh God, this intro.
Yes, it's like the, like, well, it's getting close to the hey, na, na, dang, it, but instead it's that weird one.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah, it's that weird one.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, where it like sounds like video game music.
Yes.
I think it was used in a video game, this music.
WrestleMania the arcade game, yeah.
Right, it's like the opening to WrestleMania the arcade game, like the menus or something, and it's got the like them wrestling in like a dark arena.
Yeah, like, it's like cheap looking.
Like it makes the, it's almost like they were like, we know you know this sucks, so we're gonna like make it that way. Like, yeah. It's like we're gonna make the intro that way.
You in fact, Quinn, said this is the crap era of Superstars.
Yes, this is, like you said, it's when it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter. It's still hosted by Vince. It's Vince and King. And King, just for the record, has his white and blue like robe cape thing.
Yeah, he's still in like 93 King mode. Yeah. Like not the later, like the red.
Yeah, with the black jacket, yeah, with the Sergeant
trademark.
Pepper.
Yeah.
So anyway, our first match here is the Intercontinental Champion, Razor Ramon, versus Rhett Titus.
Rhett Titus. Like, that's what I think of immediately.
Now, this was weird. And on a show known for being very quick and very, like, let's get to it,
yeah.
Razor's entrance is like 3 minutes.
Well, what that says to me is that they clearly didn't have enough stuff ready for like it was like the end of the taping or something.
And it's not like he's doing anything major, he's just walking slower, like strolling around.
He throws his toothpick at King.
Yeah, like, he does. It's,
yeah,
true.
Like there's all this like extra nonsense, like the sparkles come down, like,
yeah,
it's this Superstars, bro. Like, what?
all
why is Razor on Superstars? He's the Intercontinental Champion.
Well, he is a superstar.
Yeah, but this show isn't for superstars. This show is for people who need to beat lower people so that they can become superstars.
That's a very astute point, Quinn. Yeah. King had a good line. His hair is so greasy you could fry chicken on it.
Wonderful.
So it's a typical Razor Ramon offense, but it's like his heel offense. It's like the follow-away slam, the choke slam.
But he's a face.
The stomp.
Yeah.
The abdominal stretch.
I hated when Razor did this, by the way.
Yeah, what was your problem with that?
Well, because it's just a rest hold for a guy that's like hard-hitting and like, it's just stupid. I know he used to like lift the leg, his leg up to make it look a little more stretchy.
He did try to do that, yeah.
But it's just lame. It makes Razor look, the time he came from. Originally, when he first started wrestling, mm-hmm. rather mm-hmm. than the superstar of the 90s that right. he became.
Good point. So they're already building the Jeff Jarrett feud this early on.
That's unfortunate.
And Quinn, you said, I don't get the purpose of superstars. It's literally just them rolling around for an hour saying, we exist.
Yes. I mean, that's what it feels like. It's like a reminder on the weekend that, like, oh, you got to watch Raw, but, you know, here's just some stuff like that you can look at. Until the real matches happen on Monday.
That's really what this is. And yeah. we look at Razor do his back suplex off the top rope and then a Razor's Edge for the win. Vince says the crowd goes cockeyed.
And the crowd goes cockeyed.
Their eyes are closing. I think that's what he meant.
You think that's what he meant?
Yeah.
I don't know. The arena looked to me like a shoebox. I don't know where.
I mean, arena is really being gracious.
Generous,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
King says he's so oily, if he stands still, he'll leave a puddle.
He's so oily, if he stands still, he'll leave a puddle.
Yay.
Good joke, King.
Yeah, thanks, King.
I swear King just had a joke book nearby and he pulled stuff from
it. Well, it's a 1970s joke book, remember?
Yes, as JR used to say. So we get Todd Pettengill, of course, narrating a promo package for this weird feud. Sean and Diesel versus the Head Shrinkers. Now, if you recall, the day before SummerSlam 94, Sean and Diesel defeated the Head Shrinkers at Market Square Arena, Indianapolis, Indiana, to win the tag titles.
Yes.
Now, the reason this is an interesting promo to me is because Fatu left shortly after that match back in August.
Did he?
But every single clip, and this is airing in October,
yeah,
features did I say Fatu or Samu?
I think you said Fatu.
Samu left.
Yeah, because Fatu was still making Fatu a difference at this point.
But the Head Shrinkers at this point consisted of Fatu and Sione, the Barbarian.
Yeah.
But
one of the best strongmen of all time.
Every single clip, though, shows Samu. So I just thought the continuity there was
a little kind of weird. But I mean, it's also superstars. So, like, do you think they cared?
No.
Yeah.
And they show Sean jumping off of Diesel's shoulders for a splash.
So it's supposed to be, like, better than the Head Shrinkers.
Exactly. Like, and if you remember back when we talked about, like, finishers and stuff like that, I was complaining about how the Head Shrinkers version is just Fatu jumping from the corner.
But he gets a lot of elevation on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was just a little thing of note.
Well, they one-upped them because they're better.
Yeah, they are
better. In theory, Diesel and Shawn Michaels should never lose the tag titles in this in the company that consists of these people.
To be fair, they never... Well, first of all, Shawn doesn't like losing belts to begin with. So, yeah, they didn't lose these.
But they're a super team amongst, like, jokes like that exist in WWF in late 94.
You mean to tell me that you don't think Well Done could have beaten them?
Nope.
Smoking Guns?
Nope.
Bushwhackers?
Nope.
Heavenly Bodies?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we get a promo with...
That's who we're dealing with. That's
94, folks.
I mean, you just listen to yourself list those names. That's the tag division.
It really is.
Mabel and Mo.
Yeah.
Mom.
Remember Mo?
Yeah.
So we get a promo with Diesel and Shawn Michaels, and Shawn has that really doofy, like, zebra stripe outfit on with the hat, the leather biker hat.
I mean, I kind of think that's the classic Michaels, only because he's in Raw, the video game, looking like that, his picture, if I recall.
You're excusing it based on that, huh?
Yeah, because I saw that a lot. Although, you know what's weird in Raw, the video game?
Mm.
He had, like, the red...
They didn't try at all.
They didn't even try. And his hair was, like, red, too. It was, like, orange or something.
They did not try.
Yeah. Also, that's the worst Shawn Michaels model. How did they regress from the Royal Rumble model that looked like him?
Yeah, you're
to
right.
that?
Also, the Luger sprite in Raw had, like, really blonde hair. It was way too blonde.
That was at least accurate. He had the red, white, and blue trunks on. But you know what's awesome?
Yeah.
Is that we're talking about that and not this.
Yeah, well, back to this here. Diesel was morphing into, like, the champion version.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His
hair's getting
longer.
He's starting to look like he's going to tell us about, like, nonsense and being excited about Pam Anderson and just a bunch of junk.
Quinn, you had a very good question for me. Why did they think they should elevate Diesel instead of Sean?
Yeah, that's the first question that comes to mind. Sean's doing all the work here. He's talking and stuff. Like, Diesel literally just says, "We're gonna win" or something?
And
like,
"We're gonna win." You know, his horrible promo style.
Yeah. Watch us. Check us out.
Quinn, it's time to take us out to the ball game because we've got Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
This is just...
versus Ron Cumberledge.
I can't believe that the Brooklyn Brawler is going to win a match.
Yeah, that's the first most interesting thing here.
Yeah.
Now, if you recall, baseball had been on strike, right, since August.
Yes.
The announcers act like this is a real baseball player wearing the face paint.
Well, the idea, I guess, is that if they're on strike, they can't be playing baseball, so this is they're wrestling now or something.
Right. It's very, very nice of Vince to be actually very topical and very on top of it, but with the worst thing ever.
Like, I mean, he doesn't look like a baseball player. He looks like the Brooklyn Brawler.
What they really should have done, and I'm sorry if anyone finds this offensive, is they should have taken Sato from the Orient Express and dressed him in a judge's robe and called him Judge Cheeto.
Oh, that's good. He looked like him, too. Yes. He very much looked like Ito.
Because that was going on right now.
Wow. Did you just think of that just now?
I did.
Oh, that's really good.
Sometimes I'm on top of it.
That just woke me up. Wow, that's awesome.
Because really, if you want to get topical, there's more controversial and hot button issues than the baseball strike.
But you have to remember, this is 94 WWF, it's not 1996 WWF.
Good point.
Late 1996 WWF.
Right. So anyway, Schwartz does a baseball slide. Cheeto. Schwartz does a baseball slide to duck under a clothesline. Get it? Because he's a baseball player.
This is the dumbest thing. Why would a baseball player be wrestling?
Like, he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Now, do you recall, Quinn, because I don't know if you and I talked about this, and I don't know if you remember it, and if you don't, guess what? It's fine.
Okay.
This character, Abe Knuckleball Schwartz, actually existed a year earlier in 1993, most notably in the Intercontinental Battle Royal in September of 93. Same exact look, same Steve Lombardi, but the character's name was MVP. So, Vince actually had the idea for a baseball player gimmick a year prior to them going on strike.
Which is, this makes so much more sense. Okay, so Vince thought that this would be a thing, right? Like, not the strike, but like because it was in his back pocket and it just didn't work. When the strike came along, here comes Abe Knuckleball Schwartz with a different name. Like, he's Abe here, but he was MVP before.
Yes. And so he was the original MVP before Montel Vontavious Porter.
I was just
going to
say, like, that's also weird because, like, there was an MVP.
So anyway, if you haven't noticed, folks, we're not talking about the match because it sucks, but King does say he's not Ken Griffey Jr. Vince says maybe it's Pete Rose.
More foreshadowing?
Yeah.
Like, are we getting ready for WrestleMania 14 here?
Oh, we get another slide from Brooklyn baseball over here. Quinn, you said, what's his finisher, the fastball?
I thought he was literally going to throw a baseball at him or something. Like,
so
screwball.
So it's basically, maybe it'd be the knuckleball, but it's basically the Brooklyn Brawler offense, you know, stomp, kick, baseball, slide.
I always thought Brooklyn Brawler, this makes the most sense for his gimmick because he's the only guy who wears a Yankee shirt.
It's true. So he bores everyone with his stupid offense, and then he kicks dirt all over referee Mike Chioda.
Yeah.
Then he calls his shot, you know, points to the stands. It looks like he's actually... Quinn, wait, hang on, folks. Quinn, wake up! Quinn!
Abe, what? Knuckles.
I think he fell asleep there.
Oh, sorry. Oh, where are we? What show? What part of this show are we in?
Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
Oh,
still.
I didn't miss anything.
So basically, he calls his shot, you know, the same way you would point... Like Babe Ruth allegedly pointed to the stands, or like they point to the WrestleMania sign now.
What is he?
I think he was more foreshadowing.
How do you call a shot in wrestling?
When you're doing like, he's basically saying,
like, I don't get that.
I'm going to do a suplex.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
You could call anything. I'm going to do a drop toe hold. Like, this is stupid.
So he wins with a superplex. And Quinn, you say to me, the Brooklyn Brawler won a match.
He did. This history has been made. This is like the Johnny Rods moment, except less exciting.
Much less exciting. Vince says he could be sent down to the minors.
Why? He just won.
Exactly.
What?
Vince is an asshole.
One second he's like, he kind of likes this. The next he's like pooping on him. He's like, oh, wait, he's a heel.
We get a Slim Jim promo with Savage, a really short one.
Yeah, I didn't realize Macho Man was still here, but you're right. He did go in December, but I thought he was still like...
He was still there.
Not really participating at this point.
Well, he was the Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Abe Knuckleball Schwartz was the Lou Gehrig.
Got you.
Okay. And you said to me, Quinn, after this commercial, I like how they have the Macho Man and they don't want to use him.
Yeah. Okay. So we're watching this show, right? And there's like nothing going on. Like we're in the depths of like, this is morphing into 1995.
Seriously.
Like quickly. And that's not a good thing, because 1995 is like the worst year ever. So here we have a promo, you know, like a commercial for the Macho Man being in it, and they don't want to use him. He's the most exciting thing they have. Because everything else sucks.
It really
is. It's like, I love Sean and Brett, but they're not like as exciting as the Macho Man at this point in time.
That's true. They're not exciting, no.
Yeah. I just never got this, Joe.
I never did either. I don't know why Vince wasted Randy Savage on this.
He had the Macho Man who could still wrestle.
Yep.
And he says, you know what, that stuff that, you know, works and everyone knows it's good and loves it. It's like, there was no, like, we weren't at a point in time where the Macho Man proved he couldn't wrestle anymore.
He was still good.
Yeah.
He was good until about 97.
I know. This is a guy that wants to stay. He's good. He's popular. He could work with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing Slim Jim commercials for them.
Very upsetting.
That's it.
So we get a Heart Attack Tour promo. I remember the commercials
and
for that.
What kind of name for a tour is this, by the way?
H-A-R-T.
It's like, you want to come here to die? Like, seriously.
Well, you might fall asleep if nothing else.
You're definitely not going to have a heart attack, because it's not going to be exciting.
You might have a nightmare. Mm. So anyway, they're coming to the Meadowlands, Quinn.
Great.
And did you know the best Paul Bearer lookalike is going to win a prize?
Oh, wow.
Why would you want to look like Paul Bearer?
This is the era we're in right now. This is like the... You know when I said, like, before that, like, remember how, like, Sunny would be, like, a mom? Like, she would be like, you stink and butts, and, like, and she'd be, like, cheering on the kids.
Yeah, you poo-poo head.
Yeah, like, this is, like, I know Sunny's not there, but that's, like, to me, like, it always, like, Stephanie whined.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
Like, that kind of crap. Like, we're veering into that territory. We're having Paul Bear look-alike contest because it's just so boring. Like, really?
What do you mean boring? We've got some great matches, Quinn. Duke Drozzi versus IRS. Luger versus Tatanka. Bret Hart versus the Anvil.
Okay, that one, I have to say one thing about.
Go ahead.
That should be treated like a bigger deal than it is.
Yeah.
Because it's like the Hart Foundation actually fighting each other. Wouldn't it? They never really did that.
And they never played it up enough.
Yeah, they should never be a great thing.
The Hart Foundation explodes. The Foundation finally cracked.
Wait, is that why? Like, I get that. I thought it was obviously a pun on Bret Hart, the Heart Attack Tour,
but is
it because the Hart Foundation's fighting each other? It's
yes.
called the Heart Attack Tour?
Correct.
Oh.
And Owen was involved too.
Why isn't it called the Heart Break Tour or something?
Because that would confuse people about Shawn Michaels. It's true.
But the hearts are breaking apart here. Like,
they've already broken apart. Now they're attacking each other.
Right, but you know what I mean. Like, it's finally coming to a head.
Undertaker's also fighting Yoko.
That happened. I don't need to see that again. It already sucked the first time with 1,000 people. What are 1,000 people going to help beat the Undertaker again? Yoko's not even the champ. Who cares?
That's a very good point.
Why is that the main event, too, right?
I don't know. Yeah, it was. We also get a clip of a giant blow-up Undertaker, and Quinn, you noted that had been used later on.
Yeah, they used it at SummerSlam 97, I believe.
But he was still wearing the purple Taker attire.
Yeah, but he's not that Taker at SummerSlam 97, mm-hmm. but it's in the parking lot at the Meadowlands, coincidentally.
Maybe the Meadowlands owned it.
Maybe
Christy Todd Whitman owned it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. her. Well, mm-hmm. she did. She was a champion for the WWE,
she
remember?
Was,
and
yes.
she brought like them back. She beat the taxes. She put a 1-2-3 count. What did Vince say in that thing?
No, it was Gorilla or Undertaker said it or somebody.
Linda said it. She put a.
she made the taxes rest in peace.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Whitman pinned the taxes. That's my Linda. Anyway, we get a Bob Backlund package.
Yeah.
Did you know that he was good at football in school?
Great.
And he also won the NCAA tournament for wrestling in 71.
Yeah, I mean...
That's impressive.
I will say this.
That's
impressive. I know they're doing all this background, and it did pay off, but then, they just dropped it the next night after it paid off.
He didn't suck, but it was a one-time thing. Anyway, he won the title in 78. He lost it to the Sheik in 83, but he says he never gave up because Arnie threw in the towel. So basically what happened was he came back to the WWF after rigorous workouts and spending a little time in Herb Abrams' UWF in 91.
Was he there?
He was.
Well, Herbie would take in anybody.
Herbie would take anybody.
It was a good time.
I loved Herb.
Yeah.
So anyway... He comes back, and he has this mediocre run. He loses to Razor at WrestleMania 9.
He had that stupid jacket.
Yeah, he had the stupid jacket, the no
Princeton
music.
Princeton jacket or something?
Princeton, Minnesota, yeah. No music. He loses.
Yeah, the no music. Yeah, that's funny.
To make him seem older.
Yeah.
He loses a match on Superstars in July of 94 excellent match, Quinn, if you've never seen it. It really is good.
Yeah.
He loses a match to Bret Hart, and that's where he snaps after the match. His heel turn was actually good, and so was his haircut.
Yes, the hair, the short, yeah.
Much better than the fuzzy hair.
Yeah, definitely much better.
Yes. Okay. We get a clip of Backlund in Japan chicken winging some guy, so obviously it's probably a five-star match.
Yeah, that was probably like the best match ever, right? The best Bob Backlund match ever.
And then he says to make sure Japan doesn't crumble.
Japan is crumbling.
What is with the crumbling lately?
I don't know.
There's so much crumbles.
The crumbelievable.
Back in 94, everything was crumbling.
So then our next match here is Mabel versus generic jobber number 17, because they don't say his name. But here's something very interesting, Quinn.
This is interesting.
Mabel is solo. He doesn't even have Oscar with him, let alone Mo.
Right.
So he does his own rapping down the ring, and he's actually way better than Oscar.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
No!
Yeah.
Mabel!
No wonder Mabel got a singles push, because they were like, well, if we got to have him rap, he can do it. He doesn't need Oscar. He sure as hell doesn't need Mo.
No one needs Mo.
No one in the earth needs Mo. Is he alive?
Aww.
Like,
I think he
That's like a genuine question.
Didn't
like,
sound nice.
Can we have Mo on the show? I'm sure he would take the time to join us. Mo.
Hey, Mo.
That would get some plays. People want to hear from Mo.
Yeah, seven more plays.
Yeah.
So the king says that Mabel thought Oscar's last name was Meyer, so he ate him.
These aren't like good king jokes, because I know King's capable of better.
Yeah, later on. Not in Superstars. I think he saves the good stuff for Raw and pay-per-views.
Wonderful.
Vince tells King, speaking of great jokes, to make like a tree and a leaf. So he didn't even say it right.
Is this like the Back to the Future?
Basically? Make like a train, get out of here.
Yeah.
That's funnier.
Yeah.
So then Doink, Dink, and Adam Bomb are going to be at Sports World and Paramus, Quinn.
This is again that time period, you know, like when nothing. Like, what are
Paramus.
What are they even doing? Like, this is the high school gym era.
Like, really? We're Sports World. For what is, you think that's like sports and stuff?
Probably.
Paramus. It's only about an hour from us. But anyway, this jobber is dressed like 1983 Bob Backlund, I noticed.
Yeah, he's got those like strap-up tights. Like, I thought like this guy was the most old-school looking guy on this entire thing.
He did.
Like,
he had that weird Backlund singlet.
Yes. It was really bizarre, actually.
I know.
You think Backlund just like passed it off to him? Because like, I'm not wearing this anymore. I'm wearing the blue Speedos now.
He upgraded to the blue Speedos.
Yeah.
So Mabel with an awful enziguri for the win. It's kind of like a dog like lifting his leg to pee.
Why is that his move? He's a big dude. He should splash them or leg drop
or
them
power or power slam them,
yeah,
or
anything.
Something.
Yeah, like what the sidekick thing.
So basically he hits him with like his big toe and it's over, you know. It's,
I guess,
weird.
He has the biggest toe in the business or something. I don't know.
So
like, I don't know what else to say. There's not much to say about a Mabel match.
There's really not.
Yeah.
But Vince calls Mabel the biggest man in rap.
He's not in rap. Like, he's never been a rapper.
So Mr. Mature over here, King, he draws a penis on Mabel with the Magistrator. Or maybe it was a pig or something.
It was a pig, but it looked like a penis at one point.
Remember the Magistrator?
I gotta say, though, King does... This is something that was good for King, because he's like a drawing person.
Artist.
Like, he's an artist, yeah.
But I liked it,
like,
too.
Like an illustrator. I'm trying to think of like specifically what kind of drawing King did.
Excellent illustrator.
Yeah.
So next up, we got something that I have never seen before. And if I totally blocked it out of my memory. It's a King Kong Bundy vignette, because he was returning.
Can I say something right before this? Vince says, look where King Kong Bundy's been. Like, this is real. Yeah. Like,
look where King Kong Bundy's been.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's been climbing the Statue of Liberty in the Empire State Building because...
Like, he's King Kong.
He's King Kong now.
Like, he's bigger than buildings, which I would think that would be an unfair advantage in wrestling, and they would be like, you can't wrestle. Like,
yeah, how do you get in the arena?
Yeah, exactly.
Duh.
He's... This is real, though. Vince is like, look what he's been up to. Like, what? Is that in kayfabe? Like, now, like, King Kong Bundy is bigger than buildings.
The other thing, actually...
You just...
I'm no selling that. But yeah, the other thing that he was up to, Quinn, was growing his eyebrows back in.
Yeah, he was also up to like 400 pounds, too.
Quinn, it's time for Jim Neidhart with Owen versus Ike Andrews. And Anvil has some really junky pink tights on. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they really make him look like he's not really a threat.
It's not like his good tights.
Yeah, and it's got this weird like black stripe in the back, which didn't exist in the original version of those trunks in the Hart Foundation.
It just doesn't look good. He looks like junk.
It always is like, to me, it's like, you know how the Mets have alternate jerseys?
Yes, they do.
They were like, that's like the alternate Hart Foundation gear. The super pink
the
one.
The all pink, yeah.
Yeah, that was literally like when they're like whatevering.
And Brett did the same way. Brett was the same way.
Yeah.
So it's an Anvil match. Kick, kick, stomp, body slam. King says Anvil was the true Hart Foundation, and Vince is like, no.
Yeah, I think everyone says no.
So we get another exciting body slam, and then a camel clutch dragon sleeper
thing. I thought that was a great move.
It was. I just don't know what to call it. I really don't know what it's called.
Yeah, I was actually surprised at, like, that looked like an effective finisher. The Anvil could wrestle. Like, you have to give him a little credit.
I mean, I don't know if he could... Could he get in a ring and pretend to fight?
Here was what I always thought about the Anvil, is that he was a little older than Brett, right?
Yeah, a couple years. No. He was actually only a year older than Brett.
Okay, well, I guess maybe he just aged out, because he just seemed like there was something like he was slower than Brett, and like something about him always struck me at the end of the Hart Foundation, like the Anvil's career was really like winding down and Brett's was starting up.
You ever heard of Turkey Hill? That might have something to do with
it. Anvil was also a football player. He might have been beat up previously, like, to be fair to him, like, he might have already not been in good shape at that point.
But this move...
You're not going to let me defend the Anvil,
no,
are you?
But can you describe the move, Quinn? It's a camel clutch, right?
Yes, it's a camel clutch, but he basically puts him in a dragon sleeper of the part that his head coming up.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I don't know what it was called. He might have had a name for it, and we're just not thinking of it, you know?
The Anvil.
The Anvilizer.
Yeah.
Or was that a different move? That might have been his power slam. Anyway, Owen is hilarious here.
Yeah, Owen this is the best part of the entire show.
As this idiot's still in the move, Owen puts his sunglasses, you know, his Brett sunglasses on the guy, but then he like pulls them back and snaps them onto his face.
Yes, and they show it like four times. They show like a replay of the entire thing.
Because he does it twice. Remember, he's like, snap, and then he's like, one more time!
Yeah. Yeah.
Snap.
It's just Owen at his finest.
Best part of the show. Yeah. The only good part of the show. Then we get Paul Bearer and The Undertaker taunting Yokozuna from like the casket cam or some shit. Remember that?
Yeah. It's all purple in like the purple casket.
Awful. Why was this a good feud? Like, why did the world need Yokozuna Undertaker 2?
Because the Undertaker lost and he had to win.
Why did Chuck Norris need to be there?
I don't know. Because the Undertaker looked like Unforgiven the movie in a shadow.
This is the second week in a row that you've brought up Unforgiven the movie.
Well, it's a lot of the basis of the theme of Survivor Series 94, if you think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Taker calls him Yokozuna.
Yokozuna.
Good impression, Quinn. Yeah. That was good.
I will make you rest in peace, Yokozuna.
Why did no one ever get his name right? It was either Yoka or Yokozuma.
Confession, I used to call him Yokozuna as a kid.
You don't now, though.
Yeah, but I think because like they would pronounce it that way. Like, it was their fault. Like, I just said what they'd said, you know? I very quickly realized it was Yokozuna when I saw his logo, but I remember calling him that.
Ready for a really good squash? It's the Bushwhackers in 94.
Why the hell are they here? Like, why the hell are they here?
They're here on and off for two more years, Michael.
When did they get the, like, crappy logo thing? You know what? And those weird trunks? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think
about?
It was 96 when they also had the Australian hat, even though they were not from Australia.
I thought that this was, like, that time period.
No, that was 96. They also had a kangaroo mascot.
I guess it makes sense that they were here, because if I recall, they were somehow at the first In Your House or something, like, helping give away the house. Weren't they, like, reported, like, promos for it? Like, maybe we'd have to go back and revisit that, but I swear the Bushwhackers were like involved.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but anyway, they're facing two jobbers named Tom Stone
and
Rock Warner. So we got a lot of
Rock Warner's kind of a cool name.
Well, we got a lot of rocks here. We got a stone, we got a rock.
Pop Warner, Rock Warner.
Yeah, sure, Quinn.
Yeah.
We have this era. This so remember when you were talking about Paul Bearer lookalikes?
Yeah.
It's this era. Special guest ring announcer is some awkward kid that you can barely hear.
Oh boy. Speaking of boys.
He sounds like when they, you know, at the Tampa Bay Rays games, when they have like a kid announce the you know what I'm talking about?
The starting lineups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, it's that. Fireball, but Tampa Bay Rays anything, it's horrible.
Well, Tampa Bay, like,
anything.
I feel like the Tampa Bay Rays stadium adopts the same policy of 1994 WWF, where it's like all kid friendly, like all the time.
It does. And also adopts a lot of properties of a men's bathroom.
Oh, yes. It sounds like the acoustics of a men's restroom.
Probably smells like it too.
Yeah.
So King says, is that a boy or a girl?
Is that a boy or a girl?
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
For King to be
I
that
thought
blunt.
It might have been Skylar Hart or whatever.
Dallas.
Whatever.
Is that the one you mean when you say Skylar?
The one who wrote the thing in the W. Yeah. I've said this on the show
Dallas.
Before. The one who wrote the magazine, but I never remember his name.
This is the best part, though, of this whole segment, is that he announces the Bushwhackers at 49 pounds, and first we notice it.
It's good.
But thankfully, the King calls him out on it.
Thank you, King. This is King's best moment in this.
Yeah.
The whole time he's just been reading from the 70s joke book, but then he actually sees material, and he, like, pounces
he
on
ad-libbed.
It. Like, yeah.
He actually caught something. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So I guess it's some ongoing thing that King makes fun of all the guest announcers. I don't blame him. They're all horrible.
It's sad that that's an ongoing thing. Why having kid ring announcers is a bad ongoing thing.
It's not just kids, Quinn. I've seen awkward men do it, too.
Mm.
Anyway, why are we bothering? Like you said, why are we bothering with the Bushwhackers in 94? They're not going to win anything.
Joe, it's too late for this. It's like enough. Like,
yeah,
get out of here.
They're not going to get a push.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere.
Like, are they in contention?
No.
Like, is this victory over Pop Warner and Billy Magoo going to like get them anywhere? Like, are they hunting for Sean and Diesel? Like,
they're not even hunting for well done.
Sean and Diesel probably don't even know in kayfabe that they're in the company.
I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Most fans don't know they're in the company.
Yeah.
Typical squash, battering ram gets the win. Then this awkward doofus kid gives a stupid thumbs up after announcing
Vince
them as the winner.
Super excited about that, by the way. He's like, yeah, thumbs up for the kid.
You had a great point, Quinn. You said to me, Vince is running out of ideas here. You could watch ECW instead of this at this time, and it was good.
Yeah, the good ECW was setting in. Like, this looks so antiquated
yeah.
and, like, just a waste of your time. Like,
even WCW had some more captivation than this.
You could find better cartoons that were probably on at the same time that this was on like, Saturday morning or whatever.
You could turn on...
Like, as an adult, you would rather watch the cartoons.
Right, you could watch Space Ghost Coast to Coast or something.
Yeah, exactly.
The show was good.
Yeah, it was okay.
Anyway, next week on Raw, Quinn... Big match. Big match.
That's huge, all right.
Bam Bam Bigelow versus Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
I want to put that match in the dumpster. All that hype, and that's what it is.
Boom. Next match? Because the hits keep coming, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the 90s, speaking of bad gimmicks, speaking of a boring time, it's IRS.
You know what the most thrilling thing to hear about on a Saturday morning is?
What?
Taxes.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's fighting Gary Jackson, and, you know, he does his usual, everyone's a tax cheat. Uh-huh.
I hate that so much, by the way.
Why? Like,
you know how Ravishing Rick Rude would do different variations on, like, making fun of the fans? Every time it's just, you're all tax cheats. Like, there's nothing else. Like,
that's true. At least, like, Rude had Pennsylvania pissants, Mississippi
yeah.
morons, like, Atlantic City sweat hugs.
It's like, you're a tax cheat just like this audience. There's, like, three variations, and but they all end with the you're a tax cheat. Like, it's awful.
Not everyone's a tax cheat, for crying,
like,
out loud, Irwin.
I understand Irwin. That Rick Rude opened up with what I'd like to have right now. But,
right.
like, it was always different, depending on where they were.
Yeah, but sometimes if you have a good shtick, people will respond to it, oh, you didn't know?
Yeah.
Like, everyone...
But nobody was responding to tax cheats.
Because it's boring. So Vince
it's
just
boring,
hated the IRS.
And nobody wants to think about it. And, yeah, Vince it had a gripe because he wants to make more money.
Yeah.
Because he's a greedy asshole.
This just took a turn. Anyway, Jackson has diaper tights, according to you, Quinn.
Well, I always get upset when somebody has diapers. Because these are not, like... These jobbers, they can't be that old. Like, why is he wearing that?
A diaper?
Like, couldn't somebody get, like, just a better cut? That's all. Like, well, it's...
It depends. So we get headlocks, abdominal stretches, all kinds of good IRS offense, and he gets the win with the write-off, you know, the flying clothesline. Well, this is an IRS match.
I love that the write-off is the name of his finisher. That's so stupid.
Maybe the whole point of it was to make it as exciting as doing taxes. Maybe that was the whole point of IRS. So
Mike Rotunda wasn't exactly the most thrilling wrestler.
No, he wasn't.
No.
Ever. Like, he's literally like, ever.
To me, I feel like he's overrated because people like to, like, fondly remember him like he was some great technician or something. But even being a technician, it didn't make him entertaining at all.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
I fondly remember him because I like Money, Inc.
Here's the thing about Money, Inc. It was all Ted DiBiase.
Jimmy Hart.
And Jimmy Hart, yeah. That's
IRS helped.
IRS,
I mean, come
was
on.
There.
He's Joe. No slouch.
Joe, he just was, he existed. He was filling a role. Could have been any other, like, money goon that they could think of. Like,
true.
Could have been Pennybacks Volkoff. It could have been any of those jokes.
Can we talk about this weird confessional promo we get with a lady saying that she's too attracted to Razor Ramon,
yeah.
Sean, and Brett? She's in a confessional, like a
with
Catholic
a priest.
Confessional with
yeah.
a priest. But the whole payoff is that the priest also has, like, the TV and he's watching wrestling.
Like, he likes wrestling, so it's okay that she wants to cheat on her husband with wrestlers.
Sean.
Yeah, and Razor. And yeah.
Yeah. And they probably, well, Razor was upstanding, but the other two probably would have.
Yeah.
Scott Hall was, like, the upstanding with that stuff.
Well, it depended what Scott was smoking that day. I'm sure he made his mistakes.
And then the tagline, Quinn, the new WWF generation, put your faith in us. The new WWF generation, by the way, is their worst campaign.
It's the worst thing they ever did.
I know that people like to poop on Now.
Yeah.
And I get it. And I know people like to make fun of Ruthless Aggression, that whole era.
It's still not as bad as this.
This was the worst campaign they have ever done in the modern, you know, Vince McMahon owned era.
Here's the problem. Yes, it's good to push new talent. But you can't sacrifice the old talent that still can wrestle. Like, this is the whole Macho Man thing again.
Yep.
It's like, the whole point of this is, like, we need to just deep six everything. But, like, all these guys were, like, putting on great matches, like, 2 years before. Like, not even a long time ago.
Sure. And you know what the interesting thing is? Apparently, Quinn, for Vince McMahon, the Macho Man Randy Savage was too old. But answer this question for me. Who won the world title from Bret Hart at Survivor Series 94?
Bob Backlund.
And he was older than Randy Savage.
Do you think that had something to do with the fact that Backlund didn't seem as much of a threat because he couldn't get over because he was boring? And the idea was to create a foil to the new generation, that this old man, get off my lawn kind of guy would, like, come after the younger guys.
That was totally the intention with the gimmick and everything.
Yeah.
But as far as the worker, age-wise, like, Savage could have still worked.
Right, but the problem with Savage for them is that if Savage worked, he would have been more over than any of these people.
I get, like, what you're saying. So he wouldn't have upstaged anybody.
He would have,
I get you.
He wouldn't have even had to try, and he would have upstaged.
There'd,
like, he literally would have just done the Macho Man shtick, and, like, everyone would be like, I want that. Why isn't he the champion?
Why do we have to deal with Diesel?
Yeah,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So we finally get back to Vince here in the crowd interviewing... In the crowd?
Yeah.
Interviewing Luger?
This is really awkward.
Yeah, why is he in the crowd?
What's wrong with just the normal area? Like,
yeah.
What, is Lex Luger, like, the man of the people?
And, like, we're not talking about the Gene Okerlund, like, interview platform.
No, he's, like, they're literally on the stairs. Like, I'm sure they had to sell that platform because they're, like, running out of money here or something.
What do you think they made on that?
$26. But it's a tax write-off, too, probably, for the full amount.
Oh, I good. Think. IRS will be involved there.
Yeah, well, that's why they have them there.
So Lex has that crappy white 1994 jacket on. You know the one I mean, that crappy windbreaker.
Puffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he looks very MacGyver-ish here with the hair and everything.
Yeah, he does. He,
like, it looks like he's about to take something apart and put it back together with duct tape.
Yeah, and, like, a shoestring or something.
Piece of gum.
Yeah.
So they talk about the Tatanka issue, that hot button issue from SummerSlam.
I can't believe this is still happening here.
Oh, it goes and, like, on
we,
and on
we
and
watched,
on.
We reviewed that Superstars, like, what was it, like 4 or 5 months after this, and it's still going on?
This was a long feud.
And nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Didn't it end with that Chief J Strongbow bullshit, like, that was garbage.
You know, I swear, every time we talk about this feud, you love to bring up Chief J Strongbow getting involved.
He was a fat, chunky idiot who had no business being involved in a feud with the new generation. Like, again with this, it's like, oh, let's interject like a timid old man or something, and then that's the other option here. It's like, it's either a guy that's annoying that's old, or like a guy that's like fragile that's old.
You know what's interesting, Quinn, before we wrap up the Superstars review, back to the new generation.
Yeah.
King of the Ring 94 is when they really started pushing that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember what the last match of King of the Ring 94 was? Roddy Piper.
Oh, yes. I always forget this, like, that match, because I hate that pay-per-view.
Versus King.
Yeah.
What hypocrisy.
Yeah.
To be like, new generation. Yeah. Piper and King?
Yep.
So that's why I don't buy this new generation crap. But anyway, Luger hopes Tatanka counts his money every day at the bank.
Money in the bank.
Because the face on the money won't be a president. It'll be the fans that he let down.
Well, then it won't be real money, because the fans aren't on money. Unless George Washington is a fan of WWF.
Abe Lincoln was.
Yeah, well, he was a wrestler. I heard on the original bill that Lincoln was on, it said heavyweight champion underneath his name, but they had to remove that later.
So Luger says money can't buy success for Tatanka and the WWF. He was right about that. And that was it.
Yeah.
That's the show. That's how it ends. It ends with Luger in the crowd.
That was just so awful, because it was so textbook and nothing. And, like, I asked you the question at the end, like, did anything happen? Like, really, did anything happen in that show?
Nothing that mattered happened.
Yeah.
And that's not cliche. That's not being, like, an asshole. Nothing that happened on the show mattered at all.
Nothing advanced. Nothing, like, there was nothing, like,
nothing.
Next week that, like, you would be like, oh, maybe, like, because he did that, like, they'll come and do something. Like, I'm throwing out, like, hypothetical situations. Like,
the best part of the show was Owen Hart snapping the glasses back on the jobber.
Yeah, and what's that jobber going to come back for revenge next week? Like, there's nothing. There's nothing. Like, literally, that's all we can say is nothing.
And that sums up the problem with this period of time, which really started, I guess, after WrestleMania 10. And continued this trend until 96.
I really feel that people give 94 such a free pass because of WrestleMania 10. It's not good.
No, WrestleMania 10 is good.
No, but the year as a whole is terrible.
It's really not good. I always, in my mind, I always really consider the end of the good around the summer. Even though, like, WrestleMania 10, it gets worse.
Yeah,
SummerSlam 94 is a kick-ass pay-per-view.
Yeah, but
that's their last gasp.
I feel like a lot of it is riffing on a lot of what WrestleMania 10 did.
Yeah, Bret Owen, Shawn Diesel,
but you can't stretch
Razor.
That out forever.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like,
eventually you got to deal with Diesel as the world champion,
right.
Mabel as a King of the
it's
Ring.
It's like they had built all this stuff for 10, and they had a program with it for the majority of the year, but you could see that they had no threads like after what they were doing then. Like, there was
that's
just
true.
Nothing to continue off of, and that's why, like, I almost feel like even the stuff at 10 feels flawed, because it can go nowhere afterwards.
It's unfortunate, but it's kind of true. So, I mean, this pretty much exemplifies what was wrong during this period of time and what stayed wrong for a while. And Quinn, I mean, the truth is, this was not hard to watch. It was just so boring.
Yeah, it was sleep-inducing.
I can't call it the worst thing.
I'd say it was hard to watch because of the fact that, like, I couldn't pay attention. We usually talk and stuff.
Sure.
And it was like, there was times when there was just silence. Like,
yeah,
like we were just like, what?
There,
like,
really wasn't much to say. But I'll tell you what, folks, we know you have things to say. So why don't you reach out to us on Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can email us at OVPPodcast@gmail.com. And of course, go to our Facebook group. You can talk to us about whatever you'd like. We will be back next week on Monday, June 19th for episode number 36. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if in the midst of that, maybe Scott Keith might make an appearance for a special show.
It's possible.
It's possible. We'll see if that happens or not. But folks, until then, have a good rest of your day. Have a good rest of your week. Enjoy your retro wrestling content, and we will see you next week.
See ya.
Ah! Bless me, Father, for I am tormented.
What's troubling you, my dear?
2 months ago, I started watching the new WWF generation with my husband. Suddenly, I felt this instant attraction. Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, Bret the Hitman Hart. Oh, Father, thoughts of these men consume my most intimate moments. I feel so unfaithful. Please forgive me.
Oh, I think we can work something out.
The new WWF generation. Put your faith in.
Will you stop?